I'd like to add a point. The Spirit gives us God consciousness, mm-hmm. and we're accountable to Him.
Yep.
Now, I don't have to add what you said or repeat that. The soul is self-consciousness. And if I give up my relationship, an unbeliever, for example, if I deny myself, if I deny there is a God, if I rule him out of my life, you know what takes control? The soul, my emotions, my feelings. And if I allow my feelings and emotions to take control, where do they display themselves? Where does the Spirit of God display his work in me? It's in this body, in my actions, in my ways. And that's the way it is in the unbeliever. That's why we find the distortion that there is today of the body. Homosexuality, it's all in Romans 1. Or the same, you know, not differentiating between the sexes. And all of these terrible sins, vile and too vile to mention. That's what comes in. It begins with giving up God. Then it starts with a self importance, and in self to fulfill the lusts and desires of the flesh, and where those desires are displayed are here in this body, and God will judge that. Even the unbelievers will be raised from the dead in bodies that they can eternally suffer the pains of hell, where the devil is and his angels.
It's important to see that, or I should say, that the body is important in the Christian system of things. The importance of the body. Yeah. The body's held in honor, and it's part of God's creation because, for example, the Greeks, with Gnosticism and everything, the body was something to be, they believe sort of an immortality of sorts of the soul, but the body is just something that is dirty, it's just something to be discarded. Mm-hmm. Or you see in Hinduism where the body is to be just cast away, burnt. But in Christianity is the body is important, just as important in a sense as in a certain sense as the spirit and the soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we have the great resurrection chapter, Paul speaks of the natural body, and it'll be raised a spiritual body. The natural body is that which is characterized by the soul. It's more characterized, it's a soulish body, characterized by the soul. But in the resurrection, it'll be characterized by the spirit. The spirit will have the characterization. But it's important to see, God has ordained that that the body will be preserved in resurrection and glorified. It's not to be, and so it's important for us as believers walking through this world, what we do with our bodies. And of course, there's many verses that will have to bear on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the last 6 minutes or so, you want to look at that last passage in Romans 16. Very soon, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The source of trouble in the believer's journey is Satan's activity. He is the accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the one who comes out as a roaring lion at times. He comes out as an angel of light. And all of it is to disrupt, to detract, to turn away from the appreciation of what has been ours and given to us, peace with God, to know practically the peace of God, peace from God. Here, the God of peace gives comfort to the Roman believers and to every believer. That disruptor, God is going to bruise him under your feet shortly. A total victory.
How do we understand we'll bruise him under your feet?
I believe that's a and I will say it's a difficult verse to understand, but I think it's a very blessed thing. Satan thinks he's got us in his hands, and he's going to try to use us for his ends as he can. And he is succeeding that with man in general. But the time is coming when he will be, as it were, bruised under our feet. That is to say that we have the Lord lifts us up, identified with him, when he comes in judgment upon Satan, and will cast him into the lake of fire. It will be an evidence then that he is, as it were, under our, God has placed us above him. Like all enemies are put under his feet. But he shows us here, we are the victors in Christ. And just one more verse in that context, which is also somewhat difficult for us, to in Revelation chapter 3, in the message to Philadelphia, he says there, behold, verse 9, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, and so on. So there is a time coming where God will make manifest that these are those whom I loved. These are the ones that followed me in spite of all of your efforts and temptations. And even as it was when it says here, which say they are Jews and are not, that is those that have a religious profession. Mm-hmm. And that is here, they will recognize that Satan is one that is going to give acknowledgement, will have to give acknowledgement to the fact that he was wrong, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians 2 is another passage, that everyone will bow to him of things in heaven, of earth, and infernal beings. Satan will have to come and bow in acknowledgement that God is true, and that he was the liar, that he was the deceiver, and that he, Christ, has gained the victory. And Hebrews chapter 2, we find the thought that he has taken on flesh and blood, not the seed. He has taken on the seed of Abraham, that he might destroy him who had the power of death, even the devil, and deliver them who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. The unbelievers is that still. We were that. But now he has set us free and delivered us from the power of the enemy. And so the day will come when that deliverance will be seen complete, when Satan is made, as it were, when he will have to own that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has done the right, as it were, give him right, give him his place as he is Lord.